Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Brilliant. Don't you love technical difficulties? It's all good. It's all good. We'll get through it. Be interesting when I put boxing gloves on. It's all this mic. Yeah. No, brilliant. Brilliant. How's everyone doing? You're good? Yeah. Happy to be in church this morning? Yeah. Like, I'm loving the fact that, you know, the church is full in this place. It's good to see you. Good to see new faces as well. Seen a few new faces. It's brilliant. It's good to see you all this morning. And I've been really excited. I've been preparing this message. And it's always an honour to be able to speak to you and to share with you. But my prayer this morning is that God would speak to you. That's the reason why we get around the word. It's not to listen to me, but it's to hear from God. And so my prayer this morning is that whatever I share this morning, I just pray that what I share will influence you, that God's word would change your heart and change your life. Because like that's a power that the word of God has. It has the ability to change our lives in an incredible way. So this morning, I'm going to jump straight into my title. And my title for this morning is The Fight of Faith. Everyone say, The Fight of Faith. The Fight of Faith. There we go. Fight of Faith. Brilliant. And that explains the boxing gloves as well. But I want to start with a question. Do you know that you are in a fight today? Do you know that you're in a battle? You're in a fight today. Like, the fact that you've come to church, the fact that you've come and sat in a seat, I would say that you've won a small victory in the fight that's going on around us. And I want to highlight the fact that you are in a fight this morning. As a Christian, you are in a fight. And I know this because in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says this. Paul says this, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This morning, we're in a fight. And like, you might not think about that, you might not be aware of that, but I want to just, share with you that there are spiritual influences in, like, going on around us in this world. And of course, like, you know, when you read the Bible, you understand, you know, Jesus has won the ultimate victory. He's overcome death. He's overcome evil. But we still live in a broken world. We still live in this world, this current world. Jesus hasn't returned again yet. And so, unfortunately, we do live in a world where both good and evil have influence upon our lives. This morning, we're in a fight. But I want to encourage you, as Paul encouraged Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is fighting the good fight of faith. And the reason why I believe this subject is so important, the reason that I want to highlight to you that actually, God is real, we believe in him, but the devil is real. We also need to be aware of him. We don't need to glorify him, and we don't need to make him bigger than he is, but he is there and he is present. But I think one of the issues that we have is that we go about our life as Christians, we come to church on a Sunday, but I think we can forget what is taking place, what is going on around us. And I think, you know, one of the reasons like we forget is because we never think about it, we never consider it. But I don't know about you, but I wonder if anyone here, I wonder if you found it difficult to come to church this morning. I wonder if you found that it was a battle. I wonder if something has happened this week that's maybe discouraged you, that's maybe upset you. You know, I wonder if this morning, coming to church this morning was a battle. And the reason for that battle is because we are in a fight. We're in a fight. And I want us to look at that this morning. So fight the good fight of faith. We need to fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, we need to fight it. We need to keep not just ensuring that we come to church, but we need to keep fighting for our relationship with Jesus. We need to fight for it. Like, even in my marriage with Naomi, like, I have to fight for it. It's not just going to happen on its own. It's not just going to happen by chance, but I've got to work at it. I've got to fight for it. I've got to fight off the things that try and get between us. And we have to work together to fight anything so that we have a good, you know, strong marriage. We have to fight for it. Same with Jesus. We have to fight for our relationship with him. So yeah, so that's just my introduction. I wonder, is anyone in here, and I hope this isn't controversial, but I wonder, is anyone in here into boxing? I wonder if you're into boxing. Now, one hand at the back. I know I say it's a bit controversial because I know perhaps, like, I know, like, my wife Naomi, she hates any form of violence, hates it. And so, yeah, doesn't really agree with it. But I've never really been a massive fan of, like, many sports, but I have kind of got into boxing over the last couple of years. And I want to confess to you, like, my little man crush that I have. And I've got a picture of my man crush this morning. And this is Anthony Joshua. So that's my man crush. Look at him there. He's ready. I'll take you on. Yeah, he's there. But yeah, I've got a bit of a man crush on Anthony Joshua. I don't know if anyone else has, but I certainly have. He's got, of course, a couple of hands at the back. My goodness. I had to do a lot of searching for a picture that didn't have his top off. Because I didn't want anyone to stumble. Looking at that fine physique. So yeah, so anyway, so I got a picture of his top on. One of the reasons I really admire Anthony Joshua is that I think he's an incredible role model. He's an amazing role model. Like, I think what he's achieved, what he's accomplished at such a young age, like, it's an incredible sort of, yeah, incredible example. And the reason, like, I think it's incredible what he's done is because Anthony Joshua, what I admire about him is he's always had his eyes fixed on one goal. He's always had his eyes fixed on one vision. And his vision has always been to become the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. And so his whole life, his whole purpose is driven around that thing because he wants to become the biggest, you know, the best heavyweight boxer of the world. His focus is on that. He lives with a purpose driven towards that goal. He wants to accomplish incredible things. And like, what I admire about him is that he's not just gone and sort of said that he's going to do it, but he's actually gone and achieved it. He's accomplished it. But I wanted to share with you one of the best fights that I ever saw, which sort of really made me become a big fan of Anthony Joshua. Was he had this one fight against a fighter called Vladimir Klitschko. If anyone's aware of who Vladimir Klitschko is, he's like this big Ukrainian man. I don't know if anyone's ever watched Rambo, but there's a point when Rambo has to, like, defeat this, is it Rambo? Rocky, what am I on about? Same actor, different film. Anyway, we'll move on swiftly. So Rocky, he has to, I think, is it a German or something that he has to fight? Oh, Russian, Ivan Drago, oh, brilliant. I'm glad some people in here know films better than me. It's a great film, but it's a bit like Anthony Joshua's fight with Klitschko was like that incredible moment in Rocky where he defeats this big Russian, big mean guy. And Vladimir Klitschko, he sort of, it reminds me of that character. But when Anthony Joshua went to fight Vladimir Klitschko, he was a much more experienced fighter. And up until this point, Anthony Joshua, he'd faced some of the best heavyweight boxers in the world. And with a lot of his fights, he won in the second round. But what was tense, what got everyone sort of nervous about this fight was like, oh, who's going to win? This could really go either way. Like, Klitschko had almost won double the amount of fights compared with Joshua. And so this was really going to test Joshua. This was really going to test him. And I would have shown maybe a clip, but I didn't think that was appropriate. I didn't want to upset anyone. maybe not the place to do that, but I wanted to read a report just to explain, and maybe you can imagine with me the fight that took place between these two incredible fighters. And so a reporter says this about the fight. They entered the ring, and for the first few rounds, they were cautious for the first four rounds. But then in the fifth, after both men had sort of got an understanding of each other's capabilities, Joshua came out and he barraged Klitschko to the canvas, knocked him to the ground. Klitschko, however, he rose up with his experience and dominated Joshua for the remainder of round five. And he battered Anthony Joshua, and knocked him down in the sixth round. The next few rounds were again cautious. They both knocked each other down, both had a bit more respect for one another, and they carried on the fight until a reinvigorated Joshua, he attacked Klitschko in the 11th round, sending him to the canvas. Klitschko again rose, but Joshua met him and knocked him down for a second time in the 11th round. And finally, sending a barrage of punches whilst Klitschko was against the ropes, the referee finally stopped the fight. And in that moment, we see the success of Joshua. At the age of 27, he became the unified heavyweight champion of the world. Amazing. It was an amazing fight, an amazing sort of victory to see him have. But yeah, as I said before, what I admire about Anthony Joshua is he's always had his eyes fixed on the prize, always had his eyes fixed on the goal. But what's interesting is some very similar words from Paul, not talking about his life of boxing, but talking about his life of pursuing Jesus, of pursuing an even greater goal, which was fulfilling, accomplishing everything that God had called him to do. And so today I want us to look at the life of Paul, and I'm going to be coming back to the story of Anthony Joshua as well. But yeah, what I admire about him is Anthony Joshua had to literally fight his way to the top. He had to fight his way to the top. He had to beat people. And eventually, he sort of had his moment. He got to the top. He became the champion. And as I said before, like, his whole life was dedicated towards that. And I think that's one of the things that I find interesting, probably why I've got into boxing. Why? And it's a similar thing in a lot of other sports, is that when you watch sport, you're seeing a group of individuals or an individual fighting to become the best, to be the best. And I think that's something that each one of us admire, is when we see someone, you know, fighting to become the best and come on top and be the best in the world. But the first thing I wanted to share this morning is purpose. And I want to ask you the question, what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? Yeah? What are you fighting for? Because I believe that we're all fighting for something. I just wonder, in this moment, I wonder what it is you're fighting for. Maybe if you just think about that for a second. What is it that you're pursuing? What is your goal? Like, for Anthony Joshua, it's to become the heavyweight champion of the world. But I wonder, what is your goal? What is your ambition in life? And the reason I ask that question is because it's very important. Because where we set our sort of our ambition, where we set the place, our destination, the place we want to go, that's going to direct every area of our lives. It's going to direct every area of our lives. So it's very important to know, what are you fighting for? This morning, are you fighting for peace? Are you fighting to have an easy life? Are you fighting for comfort, for friends, for money, for a girlfriend or a boyfriend? This morning, what are you fighting for? And I wanted to tie this into this theme of fighting the good fight of faith. In a scripture, it'll come up on the board. It's 1 Timothy 6, 10 to 12. And you can read it on there. Brilliant. So yeah, so this scripture I wanted to look at. And here we see Paul. And just to give you a bit of context about the person that I'm looking at today. So I'm focusing on the Apostle Paul. Paul, he was like an incredibly influential man in the Bible. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Paul, he was responsible for writing nearly over like half of the New Testament. So this guy, he's got a big influence. He wrote a good chunk of the Bible, and so he's relevant for us today, people who, you know, read and study the Bible. But he says this in 1 Timothy, and in this book, Paul, he's writing, this is a letter, and he's writing to like an apprentice. He's writing to an apprentice, someone who's younger than him, who is in church leadership, and he's writing to him and encouraging him. Because this was all set in the context around when the church, early church began. And he says this, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the truth, true faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all of these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you." So again, this morning, I want to ask, what are you fighting for? It's so important. And as I said, so Paul is writing to Timothy, he's encouraging him. But what I find interesting about this scripture is when Paul writes to Timothy, Paul highlights some of the people in the church. And you can imagine that in Paul's day, there was a church like this, and Timothy was in charge of a church, and Paul writes to him. And he's saying that some of the people in your community, they no longer believe in God. They're no longer bothered about God because they've decided, you know what, I'm not going to fight towards God. I'm not going to fight towards his plans and purposes, but I'm going to fight for my own motive, my own motives in life. And I found I really loved what Andy shared, that prophetic word about the fact that we need to decide what route we're going to take. Are we going to take the wide route that's easy, that ultimately leads to death? Or are we going to take the narrow route, the harder route that leads to true life? This morning, what are you fighting for? We need to carefully consider what we're fighting for because it's going to determine the journey of our life. It could determine what we're going to go toward. And so these people in this scripture, we see that they've stopped fighting for God. They've abandoned their faith and not bothered about church. They want to just go and pursue their own motives. But I want to encourage you, you're sat here today, and I want to encourage you, let's make God the first thing in our lives. It's not that money is bad. It's not that, having a good job, having a good business is bad. But what the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. And we need to make sure that we're making the most important thing, the most important thing. And you might be thinking, why is this relevant for me? But I want to tell you, what's incredible is we're here in this church and there's people on our doorstep who need to know Jesus. There are people on our doorstep who need to know that God loves them, that God cares for them, that God has a plan and a destiny for our life. But I always think about it this way, is that we can be presented with two train tracks. And we're at a V. And we can decide which route we're going to take. Are we going to ask God, what is it that you want me to do? Or are we going to say, you know what? Sorry, God, I'm going to have to put you on hold. But I'm going to have to pursue my own direction in life. But I want to encourage you, although the wide road can be easy, we need to go the hard way. We need to go with Jesus. We need to fight the good fight of faith toward Jesus, toward the plan and purpose that he has for us. And I know in my life that it's not easy. It's not easy pursuing God. It's not easy pursuing Jesus. But if I'm honest, for me, there's no other option. Because I know that pursuing God, pursuing his plan, his calling for my life, it's the best thing to do. But this morning, I wonder, do you know, are you aware that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? He has a destiny over your life. The scripture talks about how we were formed in our mother's womb, that God knew us before we even came into the world. And I believe that even when God knew us, knew that we were coming into the world, he had a plan, he had an idea of what we wanted to do, he had an idea of what he wanted us to achieve. But have we got our eyes fixed on the prize? Like Anthony Joshua, he lives for one purpose. His whole life is disciplined and shaped around working towards that one goal, to get the prize. And Paul encourages us, fight the good fight, to take hold of a prize, not that's going to wear out in this world, not for a prize that is going to eventually be worthless when we pass away, but actually we need to fight towards Jesus. We need to fight to accomplish everything that he does. And although the road is hard, it's the best way to live. It's the most incredible way to live. And I know people in here know that, but it is the best way to live. So yeah, so that's my first point. What are you fighting for? And my challenge with that is, I want you to think about, are you fighting for God's purpose or your own? And how could you, now I'm not saying quit your job or anything like that, but how could you pursue God's plan for your life even more? Some of you are probably already doing that, but for those who maybe haven't considered it, how can you be fighting towards the purposes of God for your life? Second thing I want to look at is persevere, keep fighting. Yeah, keep fighting. Yeah, coming back to like the fight with between Klitschko and Anthony Joshua, like there was this moment that I highlighted in round six. There's a moment in round six where Anthony Joshua knocks Klitschko to the ground, but then Klitschko quickly turns round and he knocks Anthony Joshua back to the floor. And to be honest, at that moment, Anthony Joshua's, his legs was everywhere, and commentators were like, oh, you know what? I think this is going to be it. Klitschko's going to go and win. He's going to win this fight in the sixth round. And I want to encourage you this morning that just as Anthony Joshua, he persevered to get the victory. I want to encourage you to persevere. Persevere in the fight that you're in. In 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul again, writing to Timothy, he says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure suffering with me. And you're probably aware already, but like, as Christians, you know, our life is not going to be easy. Like, I'm not going to lie, I think when I started following Jesus, I thought, you know what, this is going to be great. Me and Jesus, we're going to do life together. I'm going to be unstoppable. I'm going to be invincible. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to accomplish everything that God's got for me. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, but I quickly realized that I was wrong, that wasn't the case. And actually, Jesus says that we will suffer. We will go through hardship. So like, it can be difficult, but let's not be shocked when we face trials of different kinds. Yeah? Paul encourages Timothy, endure suffering. For Anthony Joshua to win his fight, he had to endure the suffering of round six. And the reason I wanted to share this is I believe that there are people in here today, you're in round six. The enemy is trying to batter you. Maybe some of the reasons you're struggling to be in church this morning, the reason it was hard to get here, perhaps the reason you're finding it difficult to read the Word, to read the Bible, is because there's a battle going on for your life. As I said at the start, there is a fight going on for your life. And we need to be aware of that, because if we're going to win, then we need to commit ourselves to God. We need to ask Him to help us through the fight, through round six. And I want to encourage you as well that the great news is that we're not in the ring on our own. Yeah? When we're in round six, I don't know what's gone off in your life this week. You know, I've heard some of the prayer reports that things have taken place in your life that maybe have discouraged you, maybe have hurt you. Maybe you're experiencing the round six right now. But I want to encourage you, you're not fighting alone. Yeah? God is in your corner. Hold on. Endure the suffering. Because although you're enduring the suffering now, you're going to get through it. You're going to find your feet again. Yeah? You're going to get confident again. You're going to go on to win the fight. I want to encourage you, hold on. Remain faithful. Endure it until you get to round 11. Because you've got round 11 coming and you're going to win. You're going to have victory with God today. I know it. It's coming. And Paul, he had to endure. You read Acts, and he had to endure so much suffering. He had to endure some hard things. He was imprisoned. he was killed at the hand of the Romans. Like, he had a hard life. But there's a beautiful scripture that Paul says is that, I don't know if I've got it on here. But essentially what Paul says is, he says that, I have fought the good fight. I have remained faithful. And I have a crown coming to me. God is going to award me for the hard work that I've done. What time are we on? So yeah, so I want to encourage you. If you're in round six, you're enduring some hardship, remain faithful. Yeah, keep coming to church. Because you need to be around other people. Like Anthony Joshua, he's got a team of people around him to help him. You know, you're sat amongst your team. We need to share. When we're going through hard stuff, we need to share with others. Say, like, ask one of your friends, someone you trust. You can speak to some of the people here, Steve, Andy, Becky, Lisa, Michael. You can come and speak to them if you're going through hard things. But let's do it together. Let's endure it together, and we're going to win. The last point, very quick, that I want to make this morning is resilience. Down, but not out. And as I was preparing this word, I just really feel that there's some people in here who you feel like you've been defeated. Maybe you know Jesus, maybe you don't. But perhaps the hardship of life, whatever you're going through, you feel like defeated. You sat here, but you don't think there's any hope of things getting any better. I want to tell you that is a lie. Things will get better. Things can get better, and you're in a great place because God's going to help you accomplish everything you need to do. I wanted to talk about Anthony Joshua because quite recently, a few weeks back, he had another fight. He had a fight against a Mexican fighter called Andy Ruiz. He had a fight and everyone was laughing at this Andy Ruiz. They thought, he's got nothing. He's not going to win. He's not going to last two rounds against our Anthony Joshua, unified world heavyweight champion. But in the end, Andy Ruiz came up and he won the fight. He took the titles from Andy Ruiz. Oh, sorry, Anthony Joshua. Yeah. He took the title. He lost. And in a report afterwards, Anthony Joshua said, like, I'm absolutely gutted. It's hard to lose. I've had my titles taken from me. Everything he worked for was taken from him. And it wasn't easy. But he said to himself, you know what? I'm still a champion. I'm going to come back. I'm going to fight back. I'm not going to read it, but there's a time for Paul where he was going about doing the mission of God. If we could have the scripture up. Acts 14, 19 to 20. And Paul is going about the mission of God. He's preaching, he's sharing the message of the gospel. But he goes into one town and the people in the town, they turn on him. And they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But what I love, what inspires me, is they thought he was dead. Paul gets up and runs back into the city because he knows the mission that God has for him. He knows the calling that is on his life. And so if you've been taken out, if you feel like you've been knocked to the canvas, defeated, as a Christian or not, I want to encourage you. Keep fighting. Jesus is going to help you get back to your feet. It is not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over until Jesus says it's over. And he's telling you it's not over. And he is victorious. He will be victorious in your life. So trust him. And I want to encourage you with this from Anthony. You can tell I've got a man crush. But Anthony Joshua, he put a post up after he'd lost. And on Instagram, should come up. And he says this, can you read it? He says, don't let success get to your head or failure get to your heart. I want to encourage you, if you failed, whether it's your own fault, whether it's something out of your control, you may have failed in the moment, but you're not a failure. You may have been defeated, but don't become defeated. Jesus is going to help you back to your feet. And I want to leave you with that. Let's be people who fight for the purposes of God. Let's be people who endure round six. hold on with Jesus, who's fighting for you. He's in the corner. Let's win the victory. And if you feel like you've been taken out, don't lose hope. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. I'm sorry that we've run over a little bit. But I would love to just give this opportunity just to pray for people. Just to pray for you. And so I'm just going to ask everyone just to close your eyes. Just out of respect for your neighbour. I don't want to ask. If you feel like perhaps you've been fighting for your own purposes, I wonder if that word was for you from Andy about the fact that you don't trust, really. You don't trust that God is going to see you through if you commit to him. I wonder if this morning you feel as though you're fighting for the wrong purpose. You're fighting for your own purpose and not God's purpose. If that's you, I'd just love to pray for you. And so if that's you, I'd love to ask you just raise your hand. And I want to pray that you would find how to pursue God's purpose for your life. Because God has got an incredible purpose for your life. Brilliant. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you very much. And God, for those individuals, God, I thank you that you've got an incredible plan for their life. Jesus, we commit them to you. I pray that they wouldn't just go with the way of the world, but I pray that they would fight for you, Lord Jesus, and pursue you. And the second group of people I want to pray for. I want to pray for people, perhaps if you feel like you're in round six, you're going through some tough situations right now, you're wondering where God's at. I'd love to pray for you if you just put your hand up. Thank you, thank you. Hands all around this place. Thank you very much. That is great. And I want you to remind you, God sees that. Not just me, but God sees that you've asked him to help. Thank you for those who put the hand up. And the last group I want to pray for, if you feel like you've been completely defeated, maybe you feel like there's no way you're going to get back into the ring, so to speak. There's no way you're going to pursue what God's got for you. Maybe you feel like just defeated, a failure. I'd love to pray for you as well. So if you'd like to put your hands up, I'm going to pray for you guys as well. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. And I'd love to just pray for you all now. But it bothers me. It bothers me that there are people in here who feel like they're a failure. And I want you to know you are not a failure. Jesus does not see you as a failure. His word says that you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So if you feel guilty this morning, there is no guilt. Jesus went to the cross for you. He gave his life for you. You do not need to feel like a failure. Jesus has won the victory. You do not need to feel like a failure. God, I just want to pray for these individuals who responded, who feel as though they're in round six. God, I want to pray for those people who feel like they're in round six, that they're going through a difficult time. Lord Jesus, I pray for them. I pray that they will be able to share with people around them, people that they trust. God, I pray that they just have a word with them and say, would you just pray for me? Would you help me? Would you just support me? God, I also just pray and thank you that I pray that they would know, Jesus, that you are in their corner. That you are encouraging them, that you are for them, you're not against them. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would know that. And because you are with them, Jesus, I pray that they'd be able to endure the suffering, knowing, God, that you are with them and you're going to see them through this difficult time. And God, for those people who've responded as well, who feel like they're a total failure, God, I pray that they would see and understand that that is a complete lie. They are not a failure. And Jesus, we thank you that you restore people. And there's stories throughout the Bible of you restoring people. Lord Jesus, that is what you do, God. That's why you're amazing. That's why we worship you this morning, God, because you restore people. And so for those people who feel like a failure, would you lift them up, Jesus? I thank you that they can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.